John, was that you sounding the Christmas music to tell us that it's time for the 2 o'clock session that you'd like to take over?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. Now is the portion of the meeting where we take public testimony. And as a reminder for those in the room and on listening online or participating online, there are two separate hearings. So the first one is the public hearing, which is legally required before the commission can take final action on changing administrative rule. Those two administrative rules that are going to be acted on by the commission are items 13 and 14, which is the pet allowance and park facilities, and then establishing a pet allowance fee. With that being said, I do not have anyone signed up currently to speak on either of those finalizations. However, is there anyone in the room or online that wishes to give testimony regarding the finalizations of items 13 or 14? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, that would conclude the public hearing portion of the commission meeting. As a reminder, so the next part we're going to is the open forum. The open forum is basically anything that you wish to address the commission on. I'll just again remind the petitioners who submitted items, I believe it is 7, 8, and 9, you'll be given an opportunity to address those petitions after the open forum. So if you want to save your comments till then. As a reminder to the testifiers, please limit your testimony to 3 minutes. I'll give you a friendly reminder with about 30 seconds remaining. The first individual I have listed is Justin Bell.
Magnetic personality.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Justin Bell. I'm a registered lobbyist and representative of the South Dakota Landowner and Outfitter Alliance. Wanted to discuss with you what is action items 11 and 12 on your agenda, which is the archery deer and archery antelope proposals. And as a starting point, I want to thank the members of staff and the commission for setting forth what we believe was an appropriate process to consider those proposals. We agree with 95% of the discussion that's in there and the proposals that's in there. We're going to have one comment of what we would think would be an improvement on that. But the commission is well aware of the discussions that took place that led to that process. And I think that if you look at your agendas and the proposals that are in there, it really does outline the problem, which is that there, for both archery deer and archery antelope, the continued over-utilization of public ground, or at least the societal viewpoint of the over-utilization of public ground, and this proposal does address that issue, specifically focusing on non-residents. And we don't oppose and support the idea as it relates to public ground. It also points out that as it relates to private land, those issues aren't apparent, that there is not that concern as it relates to too much hunting pressure on private ground. And it leaves that framework in place, and we support that and think that there was an appropriate discussion regarding that. The only concern that we have as relates to the proposal is, despite the, when you look at the supportive information as relates to East River deer, so we have absolutely no concerns with the East River archery, or excuse me, the not East River, the archery proposal. As it relates to the archery deer proposal, there is one shift that isn't discussed in the supporting information that we have some concerns, and it's a relatively minor shift, and that is it switches the ability of a non-resident to only get one statewide archery deer tag rather than being able to get East River and West River tag. And there's certainly we understand that for public land, but that would already be taking place in the proposal that's already there regarding the limited number of public land tags that are there. I guess we're a little confused as to why we're shifting that for private land tags as well, because none of the supportive information supports doing anything as relates to the private land tags. It also leaves in the same option though for resident hunters. So resident hunters still would be able to have an East River and West River tag or get the statewide tag. Really all we're saying is we don't support the idea of limiting opportunity for non-residents on private land, at least differently than what we see for resident hunters. If you're going to truly try to make a difference on the amount of hunting pressure on public ground, you really would be better off making that a universal rule and saying that no, if the rule's going to go into place, the rule should be in place for everyone, not just non-residents. Or so I guess all we're saying and our position as it relates to that is don't really understand the need when you're looking at the supportive information to make a change regarding private land, non-resident hunters, as it relates to only being able to get one statewide tag instead of an East River and West River tag. If you are going to do that, though, we think the same justifications would apply to making that true for residents as well as non-residents. Otherwise, though, it's my time. I'll just say otherwise, thank you so much. Appreciate the staff's time on this, the commission's direction on this, and look forward to the process moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. The next individual I have listed is Dana Rogers.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, thank you for this time. We very much appreciate the opportunity to address you today. I am Dana Rogers. I am the volunteer lobbyist for the South Dakota Bow Hunters. Not paid anything. I'm here as a private citizen, basically. For the past 6 years, the South Dakota Bow Hunters have submitted a position paper on non-resident archer, deer, and antelope, as well as four separate years' worth of petitions directly related to getting a handle on the increasing number of non-resident archery hunters for both deer and antelope. We also remain on the extremely low end as South Dakotans for non-resident fees compared to other states that have mule deer and antelope to be hunted. South Dakota is the lone state left that allows unlimited permits for non-resident for archery, deer, and antelope that have mule deer, and it's statewide. It's not zoned. The staff proposal is appreciated and does address some of our concerns that SDBI has brought forward in the past, but we have a few additional items of concern that have not been addressed. The statistics from the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks own harvest reporting data that I brought forward before support the proposed restrictions, but do not do enough, especially on the proposed antelope license cap and the private land only license type. Once again, South Dakota is the only state that still continues to sell unlimited non-resident statewide archery licenses for mule deer and antelope. The proposal does very little to discourage someone from acquiring a private land license and hunting on public lands. During the 10-year period included in the most recent archery deer survey, non-resident purchases shot up 87% from 3,128 to 5,851. For pronghorn, it extrapolates basically to 41% of all licenses. Last year, we sold 877 non-resident archery antelope permits. In one year, from 2021 to 2022, this year, it jumped from 877 up to 1,048. So that's a 20% increase in 1 year of non-resident archery antelope permits. South Dakota already has a statute in place that limits non-resident tags to 8% of resident firearms permits. There's precedence here to do the same with archery. We would suggest setting that 8% number based on a 3-year rolling average of resident tags for archery deer or antelope. Using that 8% rule would allow for a maximum quota of approximately 1,750 non-resident archery deer permits and 171 permits for antelope. The proposal is fairly close with 2,200 for deer, but it's still pretty high. In Unit 35L, for example, which we fought to get appropriated about 5 years ago. We have 500 resident permits and 125 non-resident permits. 35L is Custer National Forest in northwestern South Dakota in Harding County. Of those 625 permits, 26 mule deer were taken by the 500 residents, 26 mule deer bucks. The 125 non-residents killed 36, 10 more deer up there. Resident hunters' opportunity and satisfaction should be the priority here while still providing reasonable access to non-resident public land hunters. Our suggestion to the commission would be that the proposal be amended to 2,000 archery deer permits and 200 non-resident archery antelope permits to be more in line with that 8% cap placed on rifle permits. Adding the unlimited private land permits makes the proposal totally ineffective to achieving any improvement without some requirement for obtaining that private land tag, which is already in place, such as the special buck tag that we have during the rifle seasons, which we don't currently have for archery. All right. If we required the special buck tag, even in an unlimited form, those non-residents would have to provide a landowner where they're going to be hunting before they get the tag, and that's also a $500 tag. So that would help with the bottom line of the department. So that's the amendment that we're asking for. When we have unlimited non-residents, even on private land, it really makes management hard. Thank you.
Any questions? We'll come to that later.
The next person I have signed up is Marty Haynes.
Hello, Commission. I'm Marty Haynes. I'm a landowner from the northwest side of the state. I've talked with you guys several times. I'm also an outfitter up there. I've seen the proposal papers, and I don't disagree with much of anything. I think it's a pretty good fit. My mainstay is, I guess, for me and my business, we do archery only on my properties. And if we were to limit archery non-resident permits, it would be very difficult for me to continue in my business. So therefore, the non-restriction of private land only, I am in total agreement with. I was just here to voice my opinion in agreeance with what the board has come with. Basically, I just was going to agree, and I wanted to see what the decision was later today. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The next individual I have is Joel Morano. Joel, are you online?
Yep, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Your time starts.
Awesome. Well, first off, I'd like to thank the department and the commission for taking a really hard look at this situation when it comes to antelope and deer in the state. I've been an active participant as much as possible in this topic with the ability to try to keep as close to the pulse on it as possible. I wasn't a member of the stakeholder group, but I did listen in to the entire conversation, so I try to be as up to date as possible. I don't oppose a cap on non-resident archery. I think I'm a resident bow hunter, by the way. I think we need to take a hard look and look ourselves in the mirror. And if we're going to restrict non-resident archers, we need to maybe consider doing the same thing for residents. I know that's not the easy or the popular answer, and I guarantee that comment's not going to make me any friends, but having an unrestricted archery season creates a disparity in opportunity for South Dakota residents when it comes to deer hunting. And if we're going to need to consider restricting non-residents, which I do believe is prudent, under the current proposal, I don't think that we're going to hit the mark. I think it's a half measure and something that needs to take a little harder to look at. And, you know, something to consider, the department and the commission need to consider, is possibly maybe archery needs to be part of a cap and draw completely. I know that's radical. Again, not going to make a whole lot of friends, but I don't necessarily think I support the current proposal as it stands until there's further reform. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Morano. The next individual I have is Mr. Trevor Davis. Are you online?
I'm here.
Go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for your time. Both the commission board as well as Secretary Roebling, and really appreciate all the work that GFP staff has done with putting this proposal together. This is a very important issue, and I'm glad that we're getting something done with it here. Not to be too redundant, just wanted to kind of double down on what Mr. Rogers had said in regard to how imperative it is that we approach this from a special buck format in terms of having the landowner designated prior to getting the tag, so on and so forth. As of right now, and I could be wrong, I know that the department just hired 3 new conservation officers, so I don't know if that leaves us down with 14 empty slots or with 17 empty slots, but it's, as we all know, we are in a deficit of conservation officers, which also makes enforcement difficult for all issues, let alone this aside. But I'd also think it's important to point out that if someone is caught hunting on public ground with a private only license, the fine as it sits right now is only $122.50. And I don't need to muddy the water as far as that being a separate issue, but I think that we also need to address that in terms of making that an actual deterrent number closer to that 1,000-2,500 realm. But with that said, this is going to be something that's going to be really hard to enforce for our state COs. And by approaching it from a special buck format, I think that that gives us a little more teeth there and makes this more effective. And without it, I don't know how effective it would be. But aside from that, we're glad for the attention this is getting. We're glad that this is getting addressed. And I'm just looking forward to seeing what this will do for archery hunters going forward, both resident and non-resident alike. Thank you very much for your time and appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. The next individual I have listed is Jason Stone. Mr. Stone, are you online?
I'm right here. Thank you. Is this ready? All right, thank you. Thank you guys for the opportunity, Commission and Secretary Roebling. Here to talk to you today again to voice my opinion on the proposed changes to the non-resident archery deer and the antelope discussion as well. Do want to thank the department's efforts in attempting to tackle this issue. I am in support of what the South Dakota Bowhunters has petitioned for over the past few years with an non-resident archery pressure on the public lands for the deer and antelope. I would say what is being proposed currently, I do feel would need to be amended, as we've heard a few different comments here today, to make some progress on this issue here. Obviously, with the stats, we've determined there's the issue, and your department's making efforts to tackle it. My concerns with this proposal really lie with the unlimited tags, basically with the limited resources and COs available to actually monitor this unlimited private land tag. As the tags would remain unlimited with this proposal and no requirement of proof of having actual private land access, I think it's reasonable for us to assume we would see widespread abuse of these tags being utilized on public land. Another concern being, how would a CO prove beyond a reasonable doubt, if at a GameStop one of these individuals was pulled over with this just private land tag, but there's no requirement to provide proof of where and what private land this animal was harvested on. And then on top of that being, again, like Trevor had said on there, the fine for hunting out of unit being only $122.50, not much of a deterrence for somebody to abuse that just solely unlimited tag on private land. So I guess what I would like to see in support in this would be changing that, as we've also heard, to a more of a special buck, special antelope buck type tag. At a minimum cost of $500, I know in the future you guys will address tag prices. I'd like to see it at least at a minimum of $500, preferably higher, to help deter some of the pressure as well. But just to make sure we're seeing at least some
attempt to gain private land access before applying for a private land tag, just to help with those, deter and prevent abuse of the tag in the future. So, again, thank you guys. I greatly appreciate all of your time trying to tackle this issue. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Before I move on to the last person signed up, is there anyone else either in the room or online that wishes to speak to the archery proposals? Hearing none, excuse me. Oh, do I have someone online?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yep.
Hey, this is Todd Craig here from Rock City, South Dakota, and I just wanted to voice my opinion anyway for the Bo Hunter's proposals there. There was a few things that I'd like to see is just some fee increases for the non-resident licenses, and hopefully we can still keep our money coming in, to keep our budget about the same, but have fewer non-resident hunters. And then perhaps I think an important step would be to try to get some more funding into habitat so we could have more animals to hunt, so that perhaps in the future we could allow more non-resident hunters in there and or don't have to come to a draw system for resident archers. So that's about all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else online that wishes to give testimony related to the archery proposals?
Yeah, I'd like to speak.
Could you please state your name and where you're from?
This is DJ Lofton. I'm the non-resident that commented on the last proposal. I'm from Missouri. I hunt South Dakota every year. We had another successful hunt this year out there. But I'd just like to say I don't disagree with the proposal, but I don't think it necessarily targets the crowding issue when you're just going to go to a set number of tags statewide. Maybe in the post-hunt survey, we could look at where hunters are at, especially non-residents. Are we seeing certain areas that are, a lot more popular with the non-residents? Because that would be the best way moving forward if this proposal is a two-year proposal, to move on from there. If you guys can get that data, that'll show where maybe more effort needs to take place, and maybe along the lines of where do we need more access, whether that's walk-in area, so on and so forth. But I just wanted to share that and be the lone non-resident to put in my idea as well. Thank you.
Anyone else online that wishes to give testimony regarding the archery proposals? Hearing none, I'll go on to an individual we have signed up, Bill Hines.
I'm Bill Hines. Thank you, Commission, for listening to me. And Bill Wackerly is my partner over there. He might have to back me up on some of this. I'm here representing the Lake Oahe Walleye Restoration Coalition, and I have no idea why we picked that name, but if I can say it, I'm proud. This committee was formed this year basically over concerns of the quality and quantity of the walleye on Lake Oahe, or the depredation of it, and the quantity and quality lack thereof. We've had several meetings with John Lott and Mark Finsel and their group, and I like to think we're in good terms with them, and I would hope they would say the same thing. They've made some verbal commitments to us on stocking some 2.8 million fingerling next year, and also some impregnated gizzard shad for the forage base to come back up. We really appreciate that. We think that's a great start. But we also have concerns about going forward and keeping the stocking going of both walleye and the forage base. I use this analogy in one of the meetings. One of the biggest tourist attractions in South Dakota is obviously the Black Hills and Mount Rushmore. What happens to the Black Hills tourism if you take away Mount Rushmore? That's the same analogy if you don't bring the walleye back to Lake Oahe. people don't come there to catch bass. They don't come there to catch catfish. They don't really come there to catch salmon. They come to catch walleye. And we've seen this depleted in the last few years. It's starting to come back. Excuse me. And our goal is to keep that going. And we want to do whatever we can to help the commission and John and his crew, whatever we need to do. We represent a group of approximately 1,800 to 2,000 people that have signed on board with us, between fishermen, resort owners, guides, motels, bait shops, concerns from all over the state and out of state. There's people that are not coming back because of the depredation of the walleye population and the quantity and the quality. We want to bring that back to where it should be, and we're here to do whatever we can to help do that. I have some pamphlets here if anybody's interested. We think there's a couple things going forward that we would like to see happen. I have visited the Cleghorn Springs recirculating aquacultural system, met with Michael Barnes. He put together, him and his counterpart, I don't remember his name, Brian someone, put this together. It's a beautiful facility. They've got a new building sitting there that I understand is going to be another recirculating aquacultural system. We want to see that happen right now. We don't know why we can't put this together and start putting walleye in there, producing walleye, and stocking them back into Lake Oahe. And again, these are opinions of mine. These guys are the experts. We're here to do whatever we can to help. And we're not in the position, and we didn't want to take the position on this to pass blame or point fingers at anyone. We're here to do whatever we can do to help. And our whole group is sitting and waiting and asking, what should we do? What should we do? We're in the same position. We're going to sit and watch and listen to what you guys have to say and help you do whatever we can. If it doesn't go the direction we think it should go, we'll keep moving in a different direction. But we appreciate all the stuff that John and Mark and those guys have done so far. We want to keep this moving. We appreciate it very much. Thank you. Pardon? Okay, yes. There's more here if you need them.
Thank you. I understand there's another individual online who is having some trouble, Justin Broughton. I believe you wish to give some testimony regarding the archery proposals.
I would, thank you. Good afternoon, I'm Justin Broughton, president of the South Dakota Bow Hunters. I'd like to start by saying thank you to the commissioners, department staff, and guests for listening to my testimony this afternoon regarding the proposals for archery antelope and archery deer. It's been a long road for our organization. We've had many meetings and discussions with the commission and department to reach this point, all of which we appreciate greatly, and I'd like to thank the department for their efforts in bringing these proposals to the commissioners for consideration and for their willingness to work collaboratively with us. I fully support the proposal to place a cap and draw on the public land non-resident archery tags for deer and antelope. However, the current proposal as it stands leaves a couple of gaps that we need to close to make it more effective. First, we need to ensure that the unlimited private land tags are only being used on private lands. We have a clear shortage right now of conservation officers in South Dakota. They're spread extremely thin and they do a difficult job. The best way to limit abuse of those private land tags is to align these tags with the current special tag format used for rifle deer and antelope. Each applicant for private land only tags should be required to list the landowner or operator with whom they plan to hunt, and we should also increase the corresponding license fee to $500. This would help to ensure applicants for private land tags know where they will hunt and have a vested interest in doing so. Without this rule, hunters who receive a private land tag travel all the way to South Dakota and unfortunately are unable to secure permission to hunt, won't be tempted to stay and hunt public lands. They'll know where they're going to hunt on private property prior to filling out their application. The applicable price increase also will help to offset some of the revenue loss we'll inevitably see by reducing the number of public land tags available for sale. Those two requirements will have zero impact on the outfitters who are currently offering hunts, and it's going to help our COs immensely with enforcement. Secondly, I don't feel the cap goes far enough in limiting the number of non-resident licenses, especially for our antelope resource. We currently have an 8% cap in place for non-resident firearm licenses, and we'd like to see something close or similar for archery. The non-resident cap, if we placed that at 2,000 licenses for deer and 200 for antelope, that gets us pretty close to that 8% cap. Just looking at the odds for resident and non-resident rifle hunters, currently takes an average of 3 to 5 years for residents, slightly longer than that for non-resident hunters to draw on any deer tag for West River rifle seasons in most counties. takes 10 to 15 years to draw on any deer tag in the Black Hills. Non-resident antelope hunters, we had some of them last year that had 12 plus years of preference that still did not draw a tag. Yet we allow non-resident archery hunters to come in every single year, shoot mule deer on public land, on statewide tags, and we allow them to shoot antelope bucks on statewide tags. In 2022, we allowed 1,000 non-resident antelope hunters unlimited access statewide when we didn't even allow our resident youth mentored hunters the opportunity to harvest an antelope on public lands. Respectfully request the commission consider the special buck tag format for the private land tags and further reducing the proposed caps for deer to 2,000 and an even more needed reduction in the cap for antelope to 200 tags. Thank you all for your time and consideration, and hope you all have a happy holiday and Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room who has not already spoken that wishes to give testimony to the commission in the open forum? Is there anyone else online that wishes to give testimony to the commission in the open forum? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, I wasn't sure I was going to make it, but we made it. That would conclude the open forum. I apologize for the cough.
We got everybody taken care of. I appreciate that, John. It's 2:30. We'll take a short recess until 2:45. Oops, sorry. Commissioner Locken.
Yeah, Commissioner Locken here. At one time, a year or two ago, we acknowledged the two bills, Bill Wackerly and Bill Hines and their group, that were fundamentally got the fish cleaning station started at Akaska. And they did a fabulous job. I've been there. They've got heated bathroom, heated place to clean fish. And it's this group that engineered it. They did the work. I stopped by one day and Bill was, I think he had a shovel in his hand. So they deserve a lot of credit for what they did. They weren't asking for us to do it. They did it themselves. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Locken. Well, with that, we'll stand down until 2:45.
We'll do that right after. That's what happens when you're